Lake Effect brings you conversations about what's happening in Milwaukee and the people, places, and organizations that shape our community. This is Lake Effect Spotlight from WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR.
The leader of Wisconsin's largest renewable energy advocacy group says the state was successful in expanding clean energy last year. Sam Denisky from Renew Wisconsin points to two large-scale solar projects in southeast and southwest Wisconsin as examples. But things could look very different this year. The Trump administration has paused federal funding for some renewable energy initiatives, threatening the growth of cleaner energy nationwide. But Denisky says despite uncertainty in Washington, D.C., he feels good about the outlook for clean energy in Wisconsin this year. He joins WUWM's Chuck Wernbach to explain more.
We're optimistic about what will happen this year with renewable energy development. A lot of developers are still very keen in pushing projects forward in our state. We have the first wind project before the Public Service Commission in many, many years. So I continue to remain optimistic. A lot can happen between February and the end of the year, but we're definitely seeing the market pushing renewable energy forward.
So that's on generation, but there's a federally funded effort in Wisconsin that's now uncertain future for it, Solar for All, which was supposed to help people with lower incomes have more access to solar. Federal government may be freezing that. We're not quite sure. Would that be a blow to renewable energy in Wisconsin?
The future of Solar for All is still a bit uncertain. We'll have to see certainly how that plays out. I don't think that renewable energy development in our state is solely dependent on Solar for All. I think it would give it a huge boost to the renewable energy sector in several different areas. But the market is still growing, especially for solar in our state. And I think that Solar for All will 100% help, but developments will still continue on regardless of how long it takes to find clarity on what's happening with the Solar for All program.
And that may take a few months in the courts, depending on what the Trump administration gets in the way of spending freezes and so on. He's also, though, frozen now this EV charger money for Wisconsin, just as three or four stations, mainly in western or northwestern Wisconsin, have started operating with these federally funded chargers. How do you view this federal EV charger freeze?
So much like Solar for All, the federal, they're called the NEVI funds, the National Electric Vehicle Infrastructure Funds. There's uncertainty there. As you pointed out, three projects in western and northwestern Wisconsin have already been completed. There are an additional 33 projects which are still under contract to be built and to receive those funds. So we certainly hope and expect that those contracts will be honored and those projects will be built, but it is certainly causing uncertainty for our electric vehicle charging network, which is unfortunately a bit behind some of our other states. Last year, Wisconsin finally had legislation that standardized public charging by the kilowatt hour. That legislation enabled public charging by the kilowatt hour, which Wisconsin did not have previously. So not only did it enable us to access these NEVI funds, but it also put us much more on par with our neighboring states as well. And so we're playing a little bit of catch up in our state, which is why having these funds delayed or clawed back would have a much more significant impact on Wisconsin, and more specifically on rural parts of the state. I think in some of the bigger population centers along some of the interstates, there will still be investment in fast charging. So when we talk about EV public charging, we're mostly talking about level three charging, which is the really fast charging. I think there will still be investment in that in the more populated areas, but that without those funds to go towards a more widely distributed EV charging network, I think some areas, specifically in rural parts of the state, unfortunately, are going to be left behind.
And remind us of how you see the public benefits of these chargers.
So electric vehicles, of course, don't have any tailpipe emissions. So the vehicles themselves are emission free. Of course, the way they are charged, that is where we have to look at where emissions come from. So currently, Wisconsin has a pretty highly dominated fossil fuel mix in our grid, which means that, you know, those emissions count towards electric vehicle emissions. But as our grid gets cleaner, as we put more wind and solar on our grid, the upstream emissions are going to go down even more. So even as it stands with our current grid mix, it is better from an emission standpoint to be driving an electric vehicle than it is to be driving an internal combustion vehicle.
We've been talking about what's happening at the federal level, but what about state legislation that might help renewables or cleaner energy?
I know Renew and our renewable energy advocates are concerned with three kind of topic areas. And the first one is community solar. We do not have community solar legislation in our state. Community solar is a nice middle ground between the very large utility scale renewable energy projects and things like rooftop solar. We need an all of the above approach, and community solar allows us to do that. It also allows people who cannot install their own rooftop solar to become part of a community solar project where they can buy, it's usually shares of a project, and then they can reap the renewable energy benefits and the economic benefits that way as well. The second subject area that Renew and our advocates are looking at is what's called an integrated resource plan. So we're seeing a lot of proposals for new gas plants, new generation in general. We have a lot of load growth that is expected, in fact, to come onto the grid in the near future. But these energy investments are very significant, right? So we know load growth is happening in our state, but we need a more holistic planning process because these electric generators are our major long-term investments. So we need to evaluate our entire system, not just individual projects or individual approaches.
So the evaluation would include looking at We Energy's proposed natural gas power plant also in the town of Paris?
So what an integrated resource plan would do is it would have utilities look at their entire portfolio and what they might need, what they might want to retire, things like that. So the individual project applications and projects would still happen, but they would be viewed through this integrated resource planning lens.
Okay, and I interrupted you. You were going to talk about the third sort of major state bit.
Yeah, and then the last item that we are keeping an eye on is we've already seen one bill introduced that would change how large renewable energy projects in our state are sited. So we're looking to make sure that we don't go backwards in terms of our siting process. Wisconsin actually has a very favorable siting environment, but it is still a very thorough and rigorous process. It has to go before the Public Service Commission. It has to be looked at by the DNR, and it has to be looked at through an environmental assessment as well. So we do not want to stall progress in our state by putting up lots of red tape that would make it hard for developers and for utilities to bring more renewable energy projects online more quickly.
I think the Republican authors of that, from what I've seen in a press release, are talking about, well, there's not enough local control over these projects.
I would have to disagree with that. These permits, counties and local municipalities still have a big say in the process. A lot of those projects can be worked out between developers and local governments, and also those entities can certainly weigh in at the Public Service Commission, and the Public Service Commission will always take a much closer look at what a municipality or a county has to say in these regards. So I am concerned, however, that this bill specifically calls out wind and solar projects. There's not any mention of gas projects or coal projects, for instance. So I'm not sure why wind and solar is being specifically identified in this bill, but that's our area of concern.
So we're talking a little bit about Republican philosophy about siting and so on, but, you know, in general, they often talk about too much government spending, that private sector should lead initiatives in the way of renewable energy and so on. And Republicans do control the Wisconsin legislature. They control the White House and Congress. What's your basic response to their philosophy, if you will?
Well, I would argue that the private sector is 100% leading this energy transition that we're under. Whether it's EVs, people like to drive EVs because they're quiet, they're fast, they're just, you know, modern vehicles, right? The market also really likes wind and solar development because these projects don't have a fuel cost. So once they're, you know, in the ground, there's the wind and then there's the sun. So these projects are very cost effective, which is why they are attractive both for developers and for the utilities that would like to acquire those resources. So I would argue that the private sector has been leading for quite some time. It's been up against status quo, which is fossil fuel generating plants. And a lot of the federal implements from the Inflation Reduction Act, for instance, were just meant to supercharge this renewable energy transition that we're in. We can clearly see it's happening. All of the major utilities in our state have decarbonization goals. There was a lot of renewable energy investment during the first Trump administration. You look at a state like Texas that has more renewable energy generation of wind than any other state in the country. So this is the idea of renewable energy and clean energy is 100% a bipartisan issue. We're talking about our electric grid here. This is something that everyone uses. Everyone needs electricity in 2025. So it's really important that we make a grid that is reliable, stable, cost-effective, and doesn't contribute to things like public health effects and climate change and whatnot.
Sam Danieski is Executive Director of Renew Wisconsin. He spoke with WUWM's Chuck Quernbach.
You can find more interviews like this one by visiting wuwm.com/lakeeffect. And while you're there, subscribe to the Lake Effect Spotlight podcast.